to allow Mike Crossen's office to use donated sick leave or sick bank leave for an employee in his office for the month of February.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. We are still moving right along in terms of being well ahead of schedule. There's a couple of things that I think we could get to under old business if you guys would like. It would save us time at the towards the end of the meeting. And I think, Clayton, if we were to do that, we might give you 6 minutes rather than five. But if you'd like to come over, come up, and we can discuss some of those contracts under old business.
Sounds good. I don't want 6 months. Okay. I don't even want five.
We got to do this one.
So there's this one first.
Yeah.
This is the consulting agreement. This is on the person who's going to come in and facilitate the meeting with the healthcare district.
Yeah, it's a contract with Bernadine Kraft to come in and facilitate the meeting that's coming up this Friday with the Sublette Center Board, the Rural Healthcare District Board, and the County Commissioners.
Correct.
And you have reviewed the contract, Mike, you and your office have. You've had no problems. You worked out the details. There's your stamp of approval is on the contract.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what we have here is a contract for a consultant agreement with Bernadine Kraft, and I would consider a motion for approval of this contract.
So moved.
Okay. Second. Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Give me a second. We'll get this one signed first.
Okay.
Now, Mike, does this go to you or Carrie?
Carrie.
Carrie? Okay.
All right,
Clayton.
Yeah, I'll bring a stack. The next one is at the last County Commissioners meeting, Dr. Brandon Fitzsimmons was appointed as the County Health Officer. And this contract has been reviewed, drafted by our office, reviewed by Dr. Fitzsimmons, and he has signed it. Essentially, this just memorializes that agreement and that appointment.
And this contract is in compliance with what the Department of Health requires?
That is correct, sir.
Okay. Where do we end up on that issue with malpractice? Is that going to be required by the Department of Health since this is, he is going to be considered appointed public official under the Governmental Claims Act? Do we, yeah. Is he still going to have to do that?
So he, and the contract requires that he have medical malpractice insurance, which he has, because
yeah.
He's currently practicing, and so that it's an acknowledgement on his part that he has malpractice insurance. In terms of the insurance requirements in the contract between the county and the Department of Health, that we have not completely ironed out yet, given the fact that we're not in the insurance pool. That is a little bit different, and we haven't ironed all of that out. But in terms of working, in terms of the agreement with him, and when it comes to him being an employee, that won't be an issue. And in this contract, it acknowledges his employee status, given and cites the Attorney General opinion
mm-hmm.
that says that they're employees, and also notes that he is not a full-time employee, nor is he a benefited employee.
Right.
Although he still is a contracted employee.
So this contract would be signed by three parties then, Dr. Fitzsimmons, the county, and the Department of Health?
So, no, this is just our contract,
with
Dr. him.
Fitzsimmons. Okay.
And then we have a separate contract between the county and the Department of Health.
Okay. Got it. So we've already approved this position, we just need to sign the contract.
That is correct.
And you have approved the contract in terms of the details?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
do a motion, or are you just signing it?
You know, I don't know. Probably just for clarity, we'll do a motion to accept the contract, even though we've already approved the position. But I would entertain a motion to approve the contract as presented between the county and Dr. Fitzsimmons for the position of county health officer.
So move.
Second.
We got two movements and a second. All right, we have Commissioner Vickery making a motion, Commissioner Noble seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, we'll get some signatures.
Mr. Chairman, speaking with Dr. Fitzsimmons the other day, he was very appreciative of this appointment and this contract. I'm very excited to begin working.
Good.
For the county.
And I think, based on what's happening on a national level as well as statewide level with the coronavirus, he will be involved in that probably as we speak, in terms of keeping aware of the most recent updates, happenings, and so on.
And this last one, last week, the board decided to terminate the consulting agreement with Hillary Graham. That agreement requires a writing, a notice of termination in writing. This is essentially just a letter from our office to her notifying that it's been terminated and just asking that you sign on as well.
Okay. So can I have a motion to approve this letter from the county attorney's office to Ms. Hillary Graham, notifying her of the termination of her services with regards to assistance with human resources.
So
moved. Second?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have 1 second?
Yeah.
Where are we with the vehicle for the extension?
Oh, yes. Happy to update you on that. In working with Robin, I was able to find an agreement that was signed by the commission in 2012, when Commissioner Bousman was the chair, that essentially wherein the university indemnifies the county for any loss associated with the operation of a county vehicle by a UW employee. So right now, this new person that will be hired by extension to work in 4-H here in Suffolk County will be able to drive county vehicles or a 4-H vehicle under, and while they're driving, the university will carry all liability when their employee is driving. And then when any county employees or volunteers of the rural volunteers of the 4-H program, when they're driving, then the county's insurance company. Insurance
so the volunteers
covered.
Are covered?
Yes. So either county employees or volunteers are covered by the insurance plan we already have.
So that's covered.
So we're set.
So this is the same agreement as we had before.
Yes, it took some digging up to find it, but we ended up finding it, and we're
good
to go.
We had a resolution of that. I couldn't remember the details.
Is there any way you can reach out to Megan and let her know, or you want me to?
No, I can do that. I'm happy
let Megan know that that's all taken care of and they're good to go, because they have a lot of showings where that volunteers do need that vehicle to take the kids to the events.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
Thank
you.
That's all I got, Clark.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. In terms of old business, Alan Houston wanted to talk to us regarding the an update on the Orcutt seep. So, Commissioner Rawhauser, if you could step around the corner, see if he's available. We could go ahead and have him come in.
Okay, oh, in you. The.
South House just opened, but the chain law is in effect.
Okay. Rolling in the right direction. Good morning, Alan. We're a little bit ahead of schedule. We have you under old business. If you would like to come up and update us on this discussion with the Orchid Seat.
Okay. Thank you. I guess the first thing I'd like to mention is I did three more additional samples of Shelter Park well water, and they all came back potable, so
good.
It seems unlikely that there's any infiltration from the ditch anyway into that aquifer. Still waiting on a little better weather to pound some more seep probes into the side of that bank.
Well, that's good news.
See how long that takes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you all received my latest little thing for suggesting we make a compelling argument to treat the seawater as stormwater. It's lightly regulated at all by the DEQ or the state engineer's office.
It likely is, or is it?
Lightly. Almost no regulation of stormwater discharge.
Okay.
I still haven't concluded on whether they think the seep is recharged by irrigation water, you know, return irrigation water, or if they think it's a phenomenon that comes from maybe Pine Creek, Fremont Lake, but even the Clean Water Act exempts return flow water from any regulation. You know, you could essentially just discharge it into the, back into the Pine Creek. Or, it's not regulated at all. It's exempt. But I don't know if that's been determined, if the seep water is spring or irrigation return. I'm not sure how you determine that.
I would think in that it's fed from the lake and the irrigation.
Yeah, it might be a combination of both. You know, it's been, I saw it noted that there was no observable seepage at one time, which indicates maybe it's more
septic system.
No irrigation, I think. Or you would think that. Well, it's, you know, I'm not a hydrologist, so it's kind of hard to imagine why that rate would vary. Other than maybe turn the irrigation water off early that year. So I'm not too hung up on that, but it seems if you treat it as stormwater, you could dispose of it as you see fit through the most economical way. I think a lot of the hang up in the past has been, well, it's water of the state and somebody has to get an appropriation. And lacking putting it to any beneficial use, you're not going to get a right appropriated to you, and it's difficult imagining what beneficial use you would put it to, you know, between October and April.
So I guess what you're saying is that if this is considered stormwater, then there is no regulation or input of regulation by the DEQ or the state engineer's office.
Correct.
Okay, so who makes the determination that it's stormwater?
Well, I'm not sure. You just don't try and run it by them. Say, we hereby resolve that this shares the characteristics of stormwater in that it rolls across the saturated surface and collects contaminants. And you could say, you know, lacking any request or absent any request to appropriate this water, you know, we will consider it stormwater, you know, until such time. Send a copy of that missive to the state engineers and the DEQ, and if it comes back, you know, if there's no immediate objection, then yippee.
So you would think that would be our next step?
Well, I think that might be the first part of a two-part step. I think, well, one, make some kind of declaration saying that we're going to handle it as stormwater, and at the same time, I think, do some small engineering forays into what's going to be the best way to dispose of it. So we could present both of them at the same time. We're going to call it stormwater and we're going to put it in the drain. Or we're going to call it stormwater and we're going to pump it up to Pine Creek. Or we're going to let it gravity flow back into Pine Creek along the walking path. Or, you know, so I think right now that's kind of how I think that should be presented to them.
So do you think it'd be, well, Mr. Chairman, do you think it'd be feasible to, for example, put it in a drain, go back to Pine Creek with it, but have a valve at the spring level so in the summer you could just divert it into the ditch?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I saw some mention in the paper about E. coli in the fishing pond. And, I'm sure it's there anyway, but I don't think those seasons would overlap. So, yeah, as soon as the kids' fishing pond is thawed and they might be there at the same time, the ditch is going to be thawed out and the little vault can be closed.
Turn
and
the
just,
handle and
yep,
put it in the ditch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be season X, open to Pine Creek, season Y, closed to Pine Creek and open to stormwater. Or, I mean, closed to the ditch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
you'd like permission from us to draft the letter to DEQ and to the Water Commission and then to do some preliminary engineering thoughts?
Yeah. And that's kind of my rub. I don't know what your agreement is with Rio Verde, but, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of money. I don't know if sometimes, yeah, I don't know how that works, you know. Tell Rio Verde, kind of interested in these three things. What do you think they'd cost? I mean, do they do that for free or do they want $5,000? I don't know how that works.
I think why don't you talk to them and then come back and let us know what you come up with,
okay,
whether it's a number or an. And then we can agree on that.
But we got to get, prior to that, the first step is sending out a letter, drafting a letter.
Well, I can draft a letter, but I think we'd want to send it with
the proposal.
With the proposal. So that might assuage, you know, the DEQ and the SEO about, okay, well, that looks like a reasonable thing to do. Why should we object to that course of action?
Okay.
Question, Mr. Chairman, has it been determined that this is a county responsibility?
Not at all. I mean,
that's what I was wondering.
But lacking any palatable alternatives, it would become a county problem. I kind of picture it as a 6-inch culvert that might run 2,000 feet. I mean, we're historically not reluctant to put in culverts to solve drainage problems. And I don't know why this one differs substantially from that.
So I think it would be a group effort. The part that's on county property, we are in charge of. The rest would be town property, which they, that's how I would see it, is a cooperative effort amongst, and possibly even the irrigation district that's involved, which those three parties have all been together up to this date.
What's the matter? Who's going to pay for the pipeline?
No, I agree completely.
Well, the cooperative effort probably needs to be determined on what the consensus solution is, because it may not be as simple as a culvert, and then we may be getting into considerably more money.
Mm-hmm. You know, I priced some 3-inch pipe will carry like 144 gallons a minute or so for almost without friction for several thousand feet. And it's like $2 a foot, $2.10 a foot. I mean, I don't know. You know, that's why we need the engineering options. I don't know if you can get a ditch witch and bury it 18 inches, 2 feet, you know, the length of where you want to go.
A lot of its elevations, too. They need to kind of show you elevations.
Yeah, it looks like,
whether it's gravity feed or pump.
Right, Pine Creek. And the walking path is probably 17, 18 feet below the vault box. So, I mean, ideally, the best option is going to be one with no pump, no operating expense, gravity fed, you know, easy peasy, no maintenance costs. But, you know, that's, I guess, I don't recall my fluid dynamics class.
Well, I guess, in my mind, Shelter Park, county property, and we would, if we choose to do so, we would take the pipeline to the property line, and then the city would take it the rest of the way, which is the majority of the project is in their
Yeah, I think it's there. 1,600 feet, 1,200 feet.
Yeah, ours is probably what? How far is our section of that?
900.
Yeah. So that's how I would envision it. I don't know if we can figure that out later.
Yeah. I'll talk to Rio Verde and see.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, and then you can give us an update.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, Alan. I think I saw Joan out there.
Yeah, she just sits. Here she comes.
Good morning, Joan. How are you?
Good.
I think we're ready for you.
You are?
Yeah.
You're just in time.
You'll have to excuse me. I've been pretty sick.
Where's your mask?
I wore big sleeves.
Pull your hoodie over.
So, thank you for meeting with me today. And when we built our senior center, I think we did a really good job. And I think that we worked really hard on anticipating the needs of what we needed and the south end of the county. We thought about weddings. We thought about activities. We thought about community. We thought about senior stuff. We thought about meetings. One thing that we didn't think about were funerals. We had no idea that 95-98% of the funerals were going to be held at our senior center and in our senior center. And it works out that it's a really good place to hold them. And but our meeting room, we've kind of turned into, we've got quite a bit of activity going on with our seniors and crafts and sewing and art, and we have no space for that. We've kind of engulfed the meeting room / if there's a funeral, we have to pull all that stuff out because that's where we do a viewing, is right in there. But and it works really well. And but it's a day taking out and rearranging that. We planned that patio thinking that would be a pretty amazing space for our seniors, but they don't like it. They don't go out. They like it. They think it's beautiful, but they don't go out there. We try on the 4th of July to make them go out there and do lunch, but we can't barbecue out there because of the smoke and what it does. So we grill inside so that, you know, the smoke, especially for those that are on oxygen and stuff, from the grill is pretty bad. So we use that patio maybe once a year. And last year I don't think we did at all. We've outgrown that patio. It seats 36 people right now. We can put like 45 out there and squeeze together. So it's kind of, it's a really nice space, but it's a kind of a wasted space and a very unused space. And I appreciate you guys coming in and looking for those of you that were able to at that space, because I think the visual kind of gets it than if I would have brought it on paper. And but two walls, I think there we could recapture, we could capture a lot of space in that senior center to bring the activities back up to that end of the building where and it would be used daily instead of not at all. So I'm here to ask if we could maybe get the owner's, your owner's rep, our owner's rep, to maybe take a look at it and see what it would entail to enclose that and capture that space.
Any discussion? I think that's a reasonable request. We don't know without having Todd Hurd look at it what kind of dollars we're looking at, whether we're looking at something minimal or something this day and time, which turns out to be astronomical. But I have no opposition to having Todd Hurd take a look at it and then proceed from there based on what his numbers would be. But commissioners,
I guess my question is, you understand that this is a budget item that would, you know, moving forward with Todd to come and look at it is a really a good idea, but the money would not be available for a project like this until budget time, in a budget request from your group. I mean that's just me speaking.
I understand that, and so I'm thinking that if we could get Todd to come and look at it now, that we could be ahead of the game on when it came to July 1, if, you know, and we could put it in our budget request if, you know, if it's feasible, if it's,
there you go. Yeah.
if it's something that is, but, you know, and if not, then, you know, maybe I could think of some kind of plan B or something else that, to gain some space there. But so I just thought that I would come now so we could be ahead of the game if we could do it this budget season.
Okay. Commissioner Bowser?
Mr. Chairman, I was down last week and looked at it, and it would give, if it's feasible to enclose that, it would give the place to keep the arts and crafts and those kinds of activities where you didn't have to go to all that work moving them out, putting them back every time you have a funeral, and it makes sense to me. But the only way we know is to get Todd to look at it, so we know what we're looking at. And the other encouraging thing, as Joan mentioned to me, that we wouldn't be asked to fund 100% of it; that they have some source of funding that could help offset the cost. We don't know yet what that might be, but my recommendation is we have Todd look at it so we know what we're talking about.
Yep.
Mr. Chairman, I had an opportunity to go and take a tour with Jill there also, and there's two things really that I don't think would come into play. Number one, there's a heating system already in place, and the lighting, whether it would be adequate or not, I don't know, but once it's enclosed, it may change that perspective. Those two things are in place. So.
And power. We have power out there on that patio too.
So I think we have Todd go look at it, come back with some numbers,
okay,
proceed to budget if they're palatable.
Yeah. Commissioner Noble.
Yes, my thoughts are, as Andre's here, I'd like to hear from him on his opinion there. And second, I'd like Andre and Todd to work together on this evaluation.
Andre, you got any words?
I don't think there's anything wrong with having Todd come look at it. The thing is, and I told Joan this when we talked about it, was, you know, her and I could stand there and go, yeah, this looks like, you know, I slap up a couple walls, but we both know that there's more things that go into it, so you have to have someone look at it that knows. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with having him look at it and come up, you know, with some solid numbers on what it would cost.
Yeah, and I think that's,
I mean, it is a significant amount of space.
Yeah.
And I'll be, you know, honest, I don't think I've ever been there and seen anybody out there. Not once.
Well, and I think we're all saying the same thing. We may be another case of sticker shock when we see what putting up two walls might be, though you got a good basis or foundation already.
Yeah, you
there,
never know. It might be tremendously expensive.
Yeah.
But we don't know.
So I think we're in agreement. We can have Todd come look at that. Andre, if you would like to tour that with Todd or whatever, you can have input. That's fine as well. And then we'll wait and see what Todd has to say. So do we need to make a formal request to Todd? How does that work?
We don't usually.
Yeah, we just ask him to look at it.
Just ask him to look at it.
Andre, I suppose you can ask him to look at it.
Yeah, I can call him.
Yeah, if you would, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
You know, I don't think there's any arguing that it could be a utilized space, that it's needed. You know, the account of how you got there in terms of what you looked at and the unforeseen thing with the amount of use that you have for funerals and the growth there, I don't think any of that's disputable.
And even I mean, that's a meeting room. It's set up. That's what that was intended for. And we do have a lot of state meetings with the Division of Aging. They come down and they love to have meetings at our senior center because, of course, we have the best senior center in the state.
Well,
and that space is excellent for meetings.
We'll see what Todd says and give us some kind of idea in terms of what this project could cost, and you could look at that in at budget time in terms of your presentation, and we can see.
Great.
Any other comment?
I will just be curious about the heating system. If when in a public building, of course, that heating system is for outside. It's all ventilated. And I have one like that in my shop. But my shop is a private shop.
We so have it in the garage. So.
I think it's the same. I think it's the tube type, right?
The tube type,
like,
yes.
Like, we have it in the ice rink as well.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. So that would save a ton of money right there. Yeah. So
we'll wait and see what Todd has to say.
Sure.
Great. Thank you, guys. Okay. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Hope you feel better.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Did you get to Jackson all right?
Did you make it to Jackson? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. And I was there for the start of the race, and that's probably where I got sick, the mushers.
She's got outside with that one. We're still a little ahead of schedule with Suki coming in at 10:30. We've done some of our monthly reports. Why don't we go ahead and take care of accounts payable? If I could have a motion to approve accounts payable as audited.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Before I pass this round, can I have a motion to approve payroll in the amount of $1,019,174.22?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Want me to see if
Janice is available? Yeah, we can take a minute to sign these, but if she's ready, sure. Thank you, Clayton.
Yep.
start with.
Yeah, I think so. I've got plenty of these.
I bought a box of them in the back and you've got my pen.
I imagine they sell those boxes everywhere.
Not to you.
Back here for a little bit. Since you have,
I have a box.
Good morning.
Good morning.
To go to D.C. Have to go Sunday.
10th Sunday. Is it 10th Sunday? I think.
10th is?
No.
Oh, that's January. Yeah, I think it is.
Well, today's 4th.
Yeah. Oh, so that's Monday.
Monday. Monday. I'm going to try and start at Sean. Quick trip.
Yeah.
Which as soon as you get out of the place.
Will you go to Jackson?
Glad you're not there this week.
Yeah. Oh, man.
TBD. Still working.
Well, we're getting any done.
I think there's confusion as to how would it...
Jeanette, would you like to come give us a good news?
And I'm trying to iron that out.
Ahead of schedule, huh?
Yes, we are.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I have 3 abatements to present. Not such good news this time.
Your time is getting short.
I know. So there's one that's very large. That's a Jonah Energy. It was an 81-page document with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of group numbers that they were changing.
How much money?
I believe that one is about $81,000. $83,000?
Still better than 800, huh?
We have one for
$20 million.
$18,600 and $135, one for $437.66, and then the big one, as Jeanette just mentioned, was $83,621.88, which looks like this is going to put us over $101,000 range or somewhere in that neighborhood.
And both of those large ones were adjustments that they did on their own initiative, so it wasn't an audit. I don't know what the circumstances were, but they found an error and made the adjustments on their own initiative.
Okay. Well, we have no choice.
Mr. Chairman, while you sign, if I may pass out some papers.
Please do.
With some estimates. Actually, I'll just write it down for me, if that's okay.
Is this off the latest Craig report?
It is the latest production estimates from the Department of Revenue.
Okay.
So the quarter following... The month after the quarter following the production reports, we get these estimates. So this is only through 75% of 2019, or 3/4 of 2019. And as I've done in the past, I give you the information. All the stuff that's highlighted or colored is information that I'm providing to you. The center portion that is just black is what the Department of Revenue provides to us. And they're comparing... on the top section, the 2019 production period with the same 2018 production period. by contrast, I look at the entire prior year production period and compare what is where are we at 75% of the year compared to what they reported the prior year. So on the left side, you'll see that oil in yellow, with 3/4 of the year completed and reported, we're only at 61% of last year's value. So ideally, if we wanted to keep all things equal and have the same valuation as last year, we would hope to see that number at 75% with 75% of the year reported. So it's definitely under. The right hand side is the gas, and the yellow highlight at the top indicates that the gas valuation at 75% of the year is only at 65.97% of the prior year's total production. Again, ideally 75%, that's 75% if we were to keep all things equal. So that bottom highlighted number, -34.8%, is where we are compared to the prior year's value with 25% of the year remaining. So it looks like we are definitely going to see a reduction in value for the 2020 tax year.
Am I missing something? The yellow on the gas appears to be better this year than last at 75%.
No, 75% of the time. Mm-hmm. So 65, the total is only 65. So currently we're at 65% mm-hmm. of the total valuation from last year with 75% of the time reported. So if it was going to be the same, we would hope it would be 75% of last year's value with 75% of the time reported. So it's under.
Mm-hmm. So combining the two.
Combining the two is that bottom
34.8%.
Number. Reduction. Yeah. Yeah. Again, there's still a quarter to be reported, so it's not doom and gloom. It's not saying there's going to be a 34% reduction. There's still another quarter to yet be reported to us.
So, Mr. Chairman, question for Janice. If this trend is the same for the rest of the year, does that mean then that our assessed valuation from natural gas will be down 30%?
No, because this is a comparison of 75% of 1 year to 100% of the prior year. So when we get 100% to 100%, that number will definitely get better. It will, as an estimate, a conservative estimate, I would say a 15% reduction. I think I'm being conservative there. It might not be that bad, but I really didn't want to say that. I wanted to go out without predicting that.
That's your job.
Yeah. We have those numbers. We have one more quarter.
We have to wait for the month after the first quarter.
Right.
So it'll be April before
right.
we even get this estimate, and then we won't have the actual final numbers until late in May. That's when they have to get those certified values to us. So it's a hard thing to budget when you don't know, but that's where we are.
But it does give us an idea.
It gives us an idea, and it wasn't very long ago that we didn't get any idea. We could only estimate based on prices. So
okay.
Now at least we get some production information.
I wish you had better news.
I think this is good news compared to next year.
Well,
a year from now.
This is talking about next year.
This is 2020's tax year, which is 2021 fiscal year. Is that true?
Right. So it does
and so,
impact.
And this is 2019 production, so we're crossing multiple years there. But so the production that's happening right now in January will be the 2021 tax year. And the prices we're seeing now will be the 2021 tax year. Okay.
Thanks, Janice.
You're welcome. Sorry.
Thank you.
Can I give these to Carrie? So that's basically saying, looking at 2020's money, based on our projection, 2020's money is going to be 15%
less. Year.
Yeah,
as a guess.
As a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is a major part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, over 90%.
But that's not 2021.
Right.
Okay. Well, Suki, do you have everybody you need here? We're a little early, but if you've got everybody you need, we'll have you come up.
All right.
Come on, anybody else? Don't leave Suki alone if you'd like to come up.
Well, I wish I could have better time.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, originally, if we were on schedule, you would have been first.
Yeah, that would have been better. Well, I'm here to ask you for $15,500 for the next stage, I hope, in our Bikanian library renovation. A year ago, I asked you guys for $11,000 for a facility inspection. Maintenance was looking at replacing the ridiculous light system there, and I said, wait a minute, let's take a look at what is actually going on with this building with multiple problems before we invest in it again. And you approved that. Inspection occurred in August, and we received the final report in November. But we did get it, and it outlined, and you should have had a copy of this, various structural issues from the renovation that was done in 2002. It was an expansion of square feet and overall renovation of the facility. And from the beginning, there were issues, sewer problems, heating problems. They identified a number of poor construction practices. So what we would like to do is improve the facility and correct the issues. We want this to be a fairly modest renovation with very few actual structural changes, but we do want to modernize it, make it function better as a library. It was a Brad Waters project. It wasn't done by a library architect, and it does not function well as a library. They had to add the computer electricity to the staff area. Afterthought, it's actually stapled to the walls, that kind of thing. There's no staff privacy, no place to eat a sandwich without the public looking at you. So after we read the library board had an all-day work session where we identified the various areas that first need to be fixed and improvements that could be made. We contacted Humphreys Pulley, who had done a 2015 feasibility study for a new library or renovation at that time that was dropped during the downturn. But they're familiar with it. I've worked with Dennis for years. He's well known in the library community. And he's done like 7 libraries in Wyoming, so he seemed like a really good choice. I know I'm gonna trust him. Sid Stanfield did a branch library with him down in Colorado Springs. So I made an initial connection with him. And they're free to take our sketch and our priorities and their knowledge of the Big Piney Library and come up with an architectural plan. It's $12,000. With an extra $3,500 for travel and other expenses coming to $15,500.
And this would include not only his conceptual design for the reconstruction,
but a price yes.
as well, an estimate.
Yes, and it would be an informed estimate.
Okay. Commissioner Vickery?
Well, I had an opportunity to visit with these folks a couple of different times, and, you know, I'm not going to say anything new. We all know that libraries are a pivotal point in small communities, and if it's not functioning well, it's not going to serve the needs, and there are some things down there that do need to be replaced. I suspect this would be the way to go about finding out what they really are and what the cost associated with them would be. I think we need to fund it, get it on the road, and see where it goes from there.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, looking at this report, there's a number of problems that you have spent time diligently looking at in terms of trying to come up with something that flows better, works better, is more modernized, suits the public better.
And will last.
Yeah, while at the same time, we came to the conclusion that structurally we're pretty sound, we can work with what we have there.
Yeah.
So I'm very much myself in favor of looking at having this individual come in to give us his ideas in terms of what he thinks needs to be done, and then an associated price with it.
Yeah.
So I'm in favor as well.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Carrie. What if we do this now, what, where do we go on the budget to get the
well,
money?
The library.
Thank you.
The library is on their mill, is part of our 12. What they get is part of our 12 mill, and that's already set and goes to them monthly. It would have to come out of Andre's budget for government facilities. So that's.
Well,
that's
where it would be put in my budget.
Yeah. So it wasn't included. We would be paying this bill. It doesn't.
Right, but this is Andre has money in his budget to cover it?
I'm not sure what his.
I think Andre's budget is going to need some
adjustments
anyway, and we're looking at having a budget adjustment next month.
We do, yes, and we can do it then if that's what you want to do.
Well, I think, I mean, what you're telling us is. The cost for this study, which is $15,500,
exactly.
is going to need to come out of Andre's budget. And
yes.
I think what Andre's saying is, I need some adjustment for this and some other things that we'll probably have to be considering at that budget transfer in March.
Yeah, including the senior center, which
yes.
we just talked about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a major one.
Right. So does that answer the question for Commissioner Bassman?
That was going to be my question.
Yeah.
Yes. So it does answer my question. I do have one question here that in looking at this, you were talking about the interior of the building,
mm-hmm.
and you were looking for a full kitchen.
More like a catering kitchen, similar to what we have in Pinedale that would be associated with the meeting room
okay.
for events.
Okay, it's yeah. a sink and a bar or whatever there
well,
is.
Well, it would be a stove and a stove sink refrigerator.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not to the extent of the Summit Center.
No.
Okay.
No. You know,
that's what had me worried,
you know,
what's going on then.
When you have events and you're serving food,
yes.
what you need
mm-hmm.
for that.
Commissioner Noble, you have anything?
As long as I guess Andre is made whole.
Well, yeah, that would have to be. But like I said, Andre's got some other issues like the seniors. That needs to be, his budget needs to be adjusted for that. So, do we need a motion on this? I guess we do, if we want to get, award this contract, to create the conceptual design. Suki, who's the individual? I'm trying to.
It's
Dennis Humphreys.
Dennis Humphreys. He's actually, his firm is now Ratio / Humphreys Poli, so it's Ratio Architects
okay.
in Denver.
Mr. Chairman, should Todd, our owner's rep, go through this prior to, I mean, make sure everything's...
I think where Todd comes in is after he does this. I think he's looking, Todd's already gone through and looked at the structural part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this, correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is the conceptual design based on your needs and recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm sure Todd will have a chance to go through that again.
Yeah.
We're just trying to get to that point where we can say, this is how we fix our concerns in terms of space, public use, flow,
mm-hmm.
privacy, that type of thing. And this is what we estimate the cost to be. So it's the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was very involved with, he set up inspection.
So Suki, could you give me the name of his business again?
Ratio.
Ratio? Okay. So I guess I would entertain a motion that we approve setting up a contract with Dennis Humphreys of Ratio not to exceed a lump sum fee of $12,000 to complete the scope of work in a $3,500 to be allocated for travel accommodations and miscellaneous expenses to create a conceptual design and cost estimate for the renovation of the Big Piney Library.
So moved. Yeah, second.
So moved, Commissioner Vickery, second, and Commissioner Rawhauser. Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll call a question.
Mr. Chairman, in your document here, you talked about space for parking, things like that, and there was an option to maybe close a street.
That went back to the 2015 thoughts.
Okay.
The parking issue is larger scope than what we're looking at. I think you guys should keep in your minds if any properties on that block become available. There is one house on the corner that's available, but there's a garage in the middle with a different owner. It's a bigger issue that we're not addressing.
Okay.
And that's ongoing. We talked about
that. Oh, yeah. It's been as long as I've been with the library, and that's 23 years, yeah.
Okay. But if they close that street then and took that towards that park, then you wouldn't have to worry about the garage and the other owners.
Well, you still have to, if they closed the street and had it just parking, mm-hmm. parking only, yeah, it would. And we could make a community garden, and we already use that park for library mm-hmm. programs all the time. It'd be awesome. If the county and the big town of Big Piney could combine resources, it would be great.
So,
but we're not addressing that.
Okay. All right. Very good.
So we have a motion on the floor and a second. Is there any more discussion? If not, I'll call the question. All in favor of this motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to do a shout out to Andre and his staff who have all the problems that building has. They've been absolutely awesome.
Good to hear. Thanks, Andre. We're still ahead of the game. We have planning and zoning at 11:15. Do we have any public comment at this time? Okay, I guess we'll move to our monthly reports from the commissioners. Commissioner Rawhauser, do you have anything to report?
Well, I was to go to the ozone meeting, but that was canceled. And we went to the Migration Corridor meeting. Lots of people there. Good meeting. Got to meet the governor. Other than that, that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Bowser.
At the last meeting on January 21st, I broke out of the meeting and I was on a conference call with the U.S. Department of Transportation involving what they call the Rural Routes Initiative. The reason I wanted to be on that call was to see if it looked like there was any opportunity for funding and rural routes that might apply to our discussion, ongoing discussion we've had here with our Forest Collaborative and the need to upgrade the Green River Lakes Road, which would enhance our ability to do timber sales, that sort of thing. The result of that call, I did get a contact with a person at the Department of Transportation that I can use to follow up on that and get them communication with the Forest Service, to where hopefully they're kind of two federal departments working together to try and keep attention on the issue. I went to the JIO POPO board meeting in Cheyenne last week. I'm on the Pinedale Anticline Production Office Board of Directors. The key thing to report from that that's significant, in 2019, the POPO Mitigation Fund is funded based on the number of well spuds, and it's $7,500 per well spud. And that was the funding mechanism for the entire $36 million committed amount for the Popo Mitigation Fund. Last year, 2019, there were 6 wells drilled in the Pinedale Anticline, $7,500 a well spud, $45,000, total amount of money, which compared to another year's like $1 million. So that, I'm only saying that because it's an indication of where we're headed. This did not include anything on the Jonah field. That's a separate, they don't have a mitigation fund. So this is only pertains to the Pinedale Anticline. They're predicting no new wells whatsoever in 2020. No more wells. So out of that $36 million total committed, right now they've funded about $25 million. So there's still like $11 million to go that once they reach the $36 million and they're through putting money into the mitigation fund, that was a cap. So just information. No triggers were met on the wildlife issues, whether deer, sage grouse, all the things they monitor for impact, no triggers were met. And the JIO side, and I'm not part of that board, but the JIO approved 2 projects, $70,000 for a portable water pumping system. The conservation, Sublette County Conservation District presented both projects, and they would acquire and maintain this water pumping system and be available to, it could be available to Game and Fish, could be available to grazing permittees, to ranchers that have need for short-term water supplies. Another $412,000 out of the remaining JIO funds, which are, they're almost done. There's hardly anything left there. And at some point they will eliminate the JIO and whatever maintenance is required, they'll probably fold it into the Popo part of the mitigation board. $412,000 for new water development projects in the JIO mitigation area. And this is meant to be 50% cost sharing. So in the JIO area, just an example of how this could be used. If grazing permittees through their permit renewal with BLM, if they need a new water source, a new well, do the NEPA on it, this fund could help cover the cost of water development projects up to 50%. So that normally we don't fund projects at the December meeting, or what was meant to be December, it got put off to January. Normally they don't fund them except in May, but these were two they felt they wanted to move forward with on the JIO, so they funded those projects. Next week on February 10th, I'll be going to D.C. to participate on a panel discussion in the Western Caucus Foundation. That's the Western Caucus consists of the House side and the Senate side. And the panel I've been asked to participate on is called Policy Issues and Federal Perspectives in Regards to Forest Management. It's about reducing the cost of wildfire and enhancing forest management and everything that goes along with it. And I'll be on a panel with the Chief of the Forest Service, and I'm not sure who else. There'll probably be a couple other participants. And I'll be going to that on the request of NACO to do that. Then my only other thing I want to bring up, I've been asked to attend a meeting on February 18th in Cheyenne with the regional foresters. That is a commission meeting day. And if I was to combine that in conjunction with the request from WCCA to have somebody available to help, that week is a week that they really feel short of help. And so I guess I'm bringing that up to say that I'm not fully determined I'm going to do that yet, but there are quite a few issues I've been in discussion with Rob and Don, the roadless issue, the collaborative issues, everything we're working on with the Forest Service. I would update our regional forester on what we're doing. Rob will be providing me some information to help with that as well. If I do that, what that means, I'll miss the meeting on the 18th of February. So
you could be excused.
Five of us, we ought to get by with four in one meeting. If I decide to do it. Well, if I don't, I'll be here.
If I'm not available, who's going to chair the meeting then?
Commissioner Noble. We got three others.
I think that's good, Joe, if that's what you decide to do.
And that,
and appreciate your work in that regard.
That's all I have to report, Mr. Okay. Chairman.
Commissioner Noble.
So, as a follow-up, do you remember the fisheries meeting we had here with the Jackson Rec Board? Had a meeting at the BLM office, had a great turnout. There was rangers from the Forest Service, rangers from BLM, Mike, also Casey Lear, Rob Hosler, Doug. We discussed potential ideas on the perception of the fishing in Sublet County. And it was very informative from the perspective of the rangers. The action item that come from there is Casey's going to kind of do a public awareness information out put on their website. This is for the most part all that the action was there, other than just informational. Okay. So that was a good meeting. Met with the Sublet Center board a couple times. Been in touch with the healthcare, rural healthcare board a couple times, migration corridor meeting, and that seems like that covers it to the best of my knowledge, unless you want to get into conversation with the facilitator, anything there you want me to discuss?
I can't think of any. I talked to the facilitator. She was going to be getting in touch with the other two board chairs, as well as the administrators for both the healthcare district and the Sublet Center. She will, after being in contact with them, she will be making herself available for meetings on Thursday afternoon evening of this week. I don't know. I didn't hear from her, but she's going to be meeting with members of the various boards. If the commissioners would like to meet, she'll make accommodations as well. Like I said, I don't know what her schedule is. I do know that she was going to be available Thursday afternoon.
She has reached out to those other entities and is arranging those meetings. So does anybody at the commission want to sit down with her individually or together at any point that evening or day?
I won't be available.
I don't see the need for me.
Yeah.
Joel, Mac, Doug, do you guys want to sit down with her?
Not sure what I would ask her. I'm curious to see if there will be an agenda before the meeting. Okay. How this is all going to kind of fall into place with that many people sitting at the table.
I think in my mind she's formulating that agenda on that Thursday.
I would assume.
Whether it's time to really publicly be put out from that evening till the next morning. I don't know if we'll see anything back.
Holly, do you know if that ad made it in today's Examiner advertising this meeting?
Yes.
It did?
Okay. And it's been in the calendar. We've got two stories in the book.
Yeah, I'm just hoping we can get the word out publicly. I don't know how many people are aware that there's going to be a meeting hosted by the healthcare district with the various boards. So it would be... I would encourage public attendance. Yeah.
People are mentioning it everywhere I go. So.
Well, that's good. Good to hear. Good to hear.
I think that covers my report. I'm sure there's something else that I'm forgetting. But
who? How did this other meeting with the fisheries? That was, did you call that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was a follow up from the meeting we had. When was that? In November?
Seems to me it was late fall.
Yeah, it was late fall. It was just a follow up. See if there was an avenue for some action that could be taken, but after talking to the rangers and the district rangers and all that, public perception and information awareness seems to be the best approach, and Casey is going to jump right on that.
Okay.
So kudos to Casey.
All right, Mr. Bickley.
Well, mine was short and sweet. I just went to that migration corridor, but it was very well attended, the governor, and the governor did listen, and I suspect took home some good information. We'll see how it works from there.
All right. I don't have anything additional to report. I would like to just remind everyone about this upcoming meeting that'll be at 9 o'clock. Over at the Bosse's building on Friday. I think perhaps after Thursday evening, maybe we can get an agenda. I'm not sure how Bernadine is going to be, or Ms. Kraft is going to be conducting this. I know she's, like Commissioner Noble says, she's been in touch with the chairmen of the various organizations, and is going to be meeting with, I know she's going to be meeting with members of the healthcare district and the sublet center on Thursday. So I guess we'll go to the meeting, listen, and find out. That's all I have.
Do you want to cover, I know that the minutes were brought up, is that, did you take care of that?
What's that?
The minutes for the meeting, did you have any thought on that?
No, we're not hosting the meeting. Okay. I don't know.
I didn't know. You and I just touched base on that.
We're not going to be, we're there to invite it. It's not a regular commissioner meeting, and as such, we will not be responsible for taking, collecting, or posting any minutes. I think that's going to be up to the healthcare district, since they're the ones that actually call the meeting, if you will, and send out the invitations.
So you're not convening as the Board of County Commissioners?
No, we're not. No, we're not. This is not a special meeting of the County Commissioners.
Right.
It is a meeting that has been called by the Healthcare District, and we have been invited to attend, as has the Sublet Center people, along with, I think, the mayors of each of the municipalities, as well as a representative from school district number one, whether it was a chairman or whatever, I don't know.
Just to be clear, since you're not convening as the Board of County Commissioners, the clerk is not required to be there.
That's correct. Would it be, Clayton? I'm looking.
That is correct. This is not a meeting of the commissioners. It's exactly as you described it. It's their meeting. This group has been invited to attend and is just there in a listening capacity. No action will be taken, and Carrie's not going to be there.
Okay. Will you be?
Yes, sir. I think Mike and I, either one of us or both of us, will be there.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman, so it's strictly from our standpoint a listening session, is that correct?
Yes. Now, anytime you listen, I guess you're always exposed to questions. But I think from our standpoint, it is a listening. It is something, my understanding is that this is an opportunity for the other two boards to talk to each other about concerns they have and moving forward with healthcare merger, et cetera. And our primary function is to go and listen to that. Now, having said that, I'm not sure you or I won't be asked a question. But there will be no action taken. It's not a formal commissioner meeting. I don't know if I answered your question.
You did, yeah.
I don't know what to expect either. I just know we've gotten an invitation to attend.
Bigley's about to go.
That's not funny, Joel.
Excuse me? I didn't.
Nothing. We got our secret conversation.
Let it go, Mr. Chairman. Someone will say, Commissioner Vickery, well, the commissioners are here. What do they think? It happens all the time in the back of the room.
Then I would say we're here as individuals, not as a commission. I have no comment.
Yeah, that'll be up to you.
Mr. Gaffney, will you be there as well?
I wouldn't miss it, Mr. Chair.
So can I count on you to order pizza if this meeting goes past 12 o'clock? Okay. All right, any other old business from the commissioners? Any questions from the public? Holly, do you have anything? Okay, I guess we'll take a short recess. The only item that I've left on our agenda is planning and zoning, and I think that has been advertised for 11:15, so we will have to wait until 11:15 to do that.